This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson broadcast award-winning program Between the Keys, featuring Jed Distler. More information about Steinway & Sons, makers of handcrafted pianos since 1853, is available at www.steinway.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and welcome again to Between the Keys. Just to give you an idea of how old I am, when I first started to get interested in collecting hard-to-find piano recordings, what I would do is schlep my bulky reel-to-reel tape recorder out on the subway or the train, wherever, to a fellow collector's home, and then I would make tapes from old records. Of course, now the situation is completely different in the computer age because so much is available because of the online community of collectors through news groups or blogs and many, many websites that are dedicated to making out of print, out of copyright, and generally hard to find recordings available for free to download. I've also been noticing how various record labels post sample selections from their catalog for free in hopes that if you like what you've heard, you will go ahead and purchase the CD or the download containing that very track or other items from that label. And there's another download trend that I have noticed, where back catalogs of certain labels get licensed for digital distribution, and as a result, you can get these incredible download bargains, like paying 99 cents. That's 99 cents for, let's say, Robert Taub's complete cycle of all 32 Beethoven sonatas, or a big collection of ragtime masterpieces for 99 cents. You can get all of the Mahler symphonies for 99 cents, the Wagner Ring Cycle, all the Beethoven symphonies, all the Mozart concertos. My point is that if you are willing to do the research, you can find quite a variety of piano recordings online for nothing or next to nothing. And I'm going to be sharing some of this music over the next hour, sharing some of the results of my download adventures with you. I mentioned the pianist Robert Taub a moment ago. He recorded the 32 Beethoven sonatas for the Vox label in the 1990s. And although the physical discs went out of print, the entire cycle recently turned up online, selling for a grand total of 99 cents. And of course, naturally, I couldn't resist. I downloaded it. Here's the opening movement from the G major sonata, opus 14, number 2, music of Beethoven, Robert Taub at the piano. Thank you. The opening movement of Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 10 in G major, Opus 14, No. 2, with pianist Robert Taub, that comes from his cycle of 32 Beethoven sonatas, which you can find online, and you can purchase it for 99 cents. My musicologist friend Alan Evans started his label Arbiter more than 20 years ago in order to preserve recordings by important artists that otherwise would have disappeared forever, or perhaps just lingered in obscurity. Alan devoted three double CD sets to the Hungarian pianist Irene Marek, who basically lived and taught near Death Valley, California, and only made a handful of commercial recordings during her lifetime. Yet she was a great artist on many levels. Alan Evans posted a sample of her playing that you can easily find online. This is Irene Marek playing Debussy's Cloche à travers les feuilles from Images, Book 2. Thank you. Music of Claude Debussy from Images Book 2, Cloche à travers les feuilles, with Irène Marac at the piano. A few weeks back, I programmed Debussy's Gollywog's Cakewalk, which bears the influence of American ragtime, and it inspired me to reconnect with the classic rags of Scott Joplin. His 150th birthday will be coming up next season. I found this big ragtime collection online for 99 cents, and it includes some of the composer and pianist William Bolcom's own performances of Scott Joplin rags, including one that we're going to hear right now, Fig Leaf Rag.
Thank you.
music by Scott Joplin, Fig Leaf Rag, performed by the composer and pianist William Bolcom, who was a major player in the ragtime revival in the late 1960s and early 1970s. And Bolcom's own rags, of course, are well worth checking out. Now, also in this 99-cent ragtime download collection that I found are a group of rags by women composers featuring pianist Virginia Eskin. Let's hear her now play a rag by Irene Giblin. It's called Chicken Chowder. It's a very spirited piece, a rag by Irene Giblin called Chicken Chowder, performed by Virginia Eskin. The ragtime genre helped give birth to the wide variety of novelty piano solos that flourished in the 1920s, which are not really rags per se, but they usually are multi-thematic pieces that emphasize virtuosity. One of the top composers of these novelty pieces was Zez Confrey. Probably his best-known piece is Kitten on the Keys. Zez Confrey also was an excellent pianist, and he actually recorded some of his compositions. I found some of his early acoustic piano 78s posted on archive.org, including the performance we're going to hear now of his piece called Coaxing the Piano.
Thank you.
Zez Confrey at the piano performing his own composition, Coaxing the Piano. That was a recording from the early 1920s on the Brunswick label, and that was a 78 RPM transfer that I found on archive.org. Members of a news group that I follow on a regular basis often post long out-of-print and hard-to-find recordings by Russian pianists whose names are all but unknown to American listeners. I'll give you an example. There's a pianist named Alexander Kamensky, who was born in 1900, died in 1952. He was a pupil of Felix Blumenfeld, who was Vladimir Horowitz's teacher. I had never heard of Alexander Kamensky before I saw this download link. So I got this recording, and I'd like to share a lovely performance of the Capriccioso from Tchaikovsky's Six Piano Pieces, Opus 19. Alexander Kamensky at the piano. Pianist Alexander Kamensky in music by Tchaikovsky from his Six Piano Pieces, Opus 19, No. 5. That was the Capriccioso. Let me remind you that you are listening to Between the Keys, and my name is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. Next, we have another Russian pianist, but this time one who is relatively well known, at least among collectors of piano recordings, Grigory Ginsburg. His recordings have been reissued on CD, but they're not always easy to locate, and I'm very grateful to those who have been uploading them. Here's a performance of Chopin's second impromptu that I find very heartfelt and poetic and full of nuance. It's quite beautiful. See if you agree. Thank you. The second impromptu in F sharp major, opus 36, by Frédéric Chopin, beautifully played, I think, by the legendary Russian pianist Grigory Ginzburg. Among the many bloggers who post long-out-of-print piano recordings online, there was a blogger who offered a series of Schubert sonata performances from the 1950s, recorded by the Viennese pianist Friedrich Wührer. Friedrich Wührer recorded quite a lot for the Vox label in the 1950s, and my late colleague Harris Goldsmith described Friedrich Wührer's piano playing as Teutonic and beady-eyed. That's not a very flattering description, I must say. Now, Alan Evans posted a sample from a recording of Schubert's final piano sonata, a live performance with pianist Mieczysław Horszowski. So I thought it might be instructive as well as fun to compare Friedrich Wührer and Mieczysław Horszowski in the scherzo movement from Schubert's B-flat sonata, Deutsch number 960. First, we will hear Friedrich Wührer. Thank you. The Scherzo from Schubert's final piano sonata, performed by Friedrich Wührer. Now let's hear the same music with Mieczysław Horchowski. What did you think of that comparison? I think it's like night and day. Horchowski is fast, intense, sharply accented, while Friedrich Wührer plays the scherzo from Schubert's Sonata in B flat in a much more soft-edged and more genial manner. Next, we have the combination of an obscure pianist, an obscure recording, and an obscure piece of music. It's an album released in 1959 featuring music by French composers with the pianist Ricardo Zugaro. And this is a work by Jean Martinon, who perhaps is better known to collectors as a conductor rather than as a composer. This is a piece entitled Épilogue pour un conte d'amour, and I think it's quite elegant and harmonically sophisticated. Let's see what you think. Thank you. Music by Jean Martinon, Epilogue pour un conte d'amour, performed by pianist Ricardo Zugaro from a 1959 release devoted to French composers. It appeared on the French Decca label. This release is available for download in Europe, so far as I know. There is a blog devoted to old recordings that recently posted some items by an ensemble that was quite popular in the late 1940s. It was called the First Piano Quartet, a group of four pianists: Vladimir Padois, Frank Mittler, Adam Garner, and Edward Edson. And these four pianists concocted their own virtuoso variations on the famous 24th violin caprice by Paganini. All I can say is that this performance is pure ear candy. the first piano quartet with pianists Vladimir Padua, Frank Mittler, Adam Garner, and Edward Edson on four pianos performing their collectively arranged variations on a theme of Paganini, recorded around 1947. Quite a mix of music we've had this past hour, don't you think? As I've been rummaging through my collection of bargain basement downloads, uploaded rarities, and more than a few delightful discoveries. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will join me again at this time next week for Between the Keys. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and be well, and more importantly, be kind. Between the Keys is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.